That's the prize? A free buffet?
Oh, well, no, actually, it's not a buffet. It's a special reception at 10 o'clock in the penthouse conference room.
Oh.
Where a spectacular once-in-a-lifetime opportunity awaits you.
What do you think?
I think it's some kind of scam.
Oh, good! A scam! We'll do it.
And do you know people in your lives who are taken in by scams? And I mean, that's a cute scene from Rat Pack. However, it's a scam. We'll do it on some level. If you know you're involved in a scam, if there, you know, somebody's soliciting something, we get the telemarketers all the time, or we get the emails that say, oh, you need to, you've won some vacation. Just give us your social security number and the name of all your kids and your puppy and whatnot. You know the routine. And, you know, they immediately go into the trash for me. Most of them go into my spam filter. But if someone calls up, it's the same thing. I hang up. I usually ask them, have I asked you to call? Are you a telemarketer? And then I end the call, or I push one or two or whatever number they want to take me off the list. But the point is, are you taken in by scams? If you feel like you want something for nothing, whether it's gambling, I think gambling is a scam. I think it's a huge scam. All you have to do is look at casinos. You see how much money, how much of your money, or people who are duped, they get. They're very wealthy. They're rolling in the dough. And should it be allowed on a free market? Of course, it is a scam. And buyer beware. You're the one that needs to know that if you're putting quarters into a machine or laying money on the table, if it's your earned money, it's your money, and you raise an eyebrow, or maybe it's a mental eyebrow. Should I be doing this? Oh man, tune into that. That is your self, your subconscious feeding you information. Honey, this ain't a good deal. Even if you win, it's not a good deal. In fact, that makes you more vulnerable if you win, because you draw what conclusion? You draw that gambling is healthy for you and long-range gambling is not healthy. Using your mind rationally is. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness, and there are a lot of things you can do other than gamble. I know some people use it for, in quotes, recreation. Many people use it for escape. Many people use it for, a way, hoping that they can take a shortcut in life, and it doesn't end up being that. And many of us have been touched by people in our close environment. I certainly have worked with many people in therapy, and I've seen families absolutely destroyed by gambling and other bad choices too. So it's not just gambling. Again, I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. You can pick up the phone and call me. I'm a clinical psychologist, and even though it's not therapy, it gives you an opportunity to maybe get some tips that put you in a better direction, or maybe even get therapy for yourself. Here is a question that I received from Kara, who's going through a divorce, and she's been married for 7 years. Dear Dr. Kenner, I'm going through a divorce, married 7 years. Unfortunately, our divorce is affecting our 3 children, all under the age of 10. So 3 very young children. What is the best way to schedule parenting time between us? My husband's lawyer is suggesting 1 week per parent back and forth forever. Thanks so much, Kara. So Kara, the question first, forever part, or on and on and on, indefinitely, that part, you always want to be open to revising a schedule. Everybody learns when they first set up a visitation schedule or a co-parenting schedule. Everybody learns as they go. Does this schedule work for all 3 of our children? Does it work for me given my work schedule? Does it work for me given that I feel very attached to my children and I don't want to see them gone for an entire week? So you want to know that nothing's written in stone, and I would have the lawyer write that in writing, that this will come up for annual or semi-annual review to make sure that it's working, so nothing is in stone that way. The second point is, nobody can answer this question but you. You, just because your husband's lawyer suggests something doesn't mean that it's the solution, obviously. That's why you're questioning it. You're seeking more information. You want to ask yourself privately, what would that look like? Do a thought experiment. Thought experiments are just picturing it in your own mind moving forward, picturing it during the summer, picturing it during the winter when the kids, some of the kids might be at school. I know you've got very young ones. How will it work out with after school activities? How will it work out personally for you? Do you need a little respite? Do you need a whole week respite from your kids? If you need a whole week respite, that may be a problem for your kids because they are young kids. They're going to need your attentiveness, your nurturing, your visibility. They're going to not want to feel abandoned from each parent every other week. Another question is, what alternatives have you looked at? So see if it fits into your lifestyle. If it doesn't, look at the alternatives. And you can go online. My guess is you already have samples of these, but I just Googled an onabout.com for single parents. You can see child custody schedule. The first one they talk about is the one that you're considering, alternating weeks. And you want to have some flexibility in that because you may want to swap weeks in case one person is always getting Christmas or a particular holiday and you want to share it, or one person always gets the vacation just the way the week goes. Another way is you can have what your husband is and the lawyer suggesting, alternating weeks, but you can have one night during the week where you have an evening visit or a midweek overnight with the opposite parent, so the kids still keep the connection. Then they go into schedules that are a little crazy, or they would be crazy for me. Two, three-day rotations. I mean, if you get into a rhythm of it, that's one thing, but sometimes it was an old movie. If it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium, a family traveling to different countries, and they were just very confused. If it's Tuesday, what day in the rotation are we in? Is it mom's or dad's day? Or there's also a 3-3-4-4-day rotation, and there's a 2-2-5-5-day rotation. So already you can see it's a little more confusing. So you do want to simplify it for yourselves and the kids. And then you also want to listen very carefully to your kids. They don't call the ultimate shots. You do want to listen to them, to their concerns, and answer their concerns. And you obviously, I'm assuming both parents are stable and the safety issues are fine. Otherwise, it might be very different. You want to spend time with each of the kids. Again, the main thing is the visibility. Three things: the visibility, the kids need to feel valued, cherished, cared for, and nurtured. Another thing is that they shouldn't be hearing you arguing and fighting over things. That's very damaging, and I know it's hard going through a divorce, but try to protect them from that. The third is feeling abandoned by one parent. Maybe one parent just gives up, they don't want to deal with the guilt, they fly far away. Listen, I've written an article that's on my website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com, and it's called Partners, A Rational Plan for Nurturing Your Child After Your Marriage Ends. And I recommend a book, Helping Your Child Through the Divorce, which I think will help with that also. There's also a phenomenal book for kids, and I use this a lot in therapy. My book's falling apart. Sometimes I'd spend a whole session on one or two pages, and that's Dinosaur's Divorce, and it really helps kids open up and express what's going on. It gives them the freedom to do that, and you do want to listen to them. You will try to, again, in the custody, going back to the custody schedule for a moment, you know, do the kids want to be in one neighborhood or another? Do they like the bedroom in one parent's home over another? Are there friends in that area? So listen to your children and work it into whatever arrangement you make. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. Look forward to talking with you again next week on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and Dr. Edwin Locke.
It is important to take your life, character, and values, career, romance, ideas, friends, hobbies, leisure activities seriously. If you do not, they slip away and life becomes increasingly empty and meaningless because nothing is truly important. This is why a sense of humor is not a primary virtue. That said, a healthy playfulness and humor are delightful add-ons to a relationship. They help reinforce the premise that life is fun and joyous. Learn what your partner considers funny. There can be a substantial difference of opinion in this realm. Make clear what you dislike so you won't be exposed to it.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.